The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Fitzroy, and you are listening to Cracking the Nature Code. Whales singing pop music, termites going to architecture school, ants harvesting in their farms. These and other such oddities of the natural world have fascinated me, as countless other humans throughout history. If you are curious like me, or perhaps you're feeling like something's missing and you're experiencing life as simply mundane, join me to explore these mysteries with humor and humility to experience the world in a brand new way.
On this hill on the open space, abutting this modern suburb, a black cat meanders like a panther, casually strolling along the grasses in the morning sun. Ah, the cat is stopping. It is chewing on grass. Why does it do that? This feline is a carnivore. Grasses are not part of its diet, and they provide little to no nutritional value either. So why does it do it? Because this cat is self-medicating. This science of animal self-medication is called zoopharmacognosy, derived from zoo, animal, pharma, drug, and nosy, knowing. Cat is ingesting the chewed up grass, knowing that this will cause a stomach churning reaction, forcing the cat to regurgitate the grass along with other indigestible solids. Right on cue, little kitty.
And another widely known quirkiness of cats has to do with their typical reaction to catnip, one of approximately 250 species in the mint family. As the Humane Society reports at humanesociety.org, nepetalactone, the essential oil in catnip, can turn even the laziest couch potato into a crazy furball, rolling, flipping, rubbing, and eventually zoning out. What the Humane Society report omits, however, is the biological function of the catnip and the cat's reaction to it. But recent research into this mysterious behavior by a team of researchers from Japan and England and published in the Journal of Science Advances, suggests that cats not only use catnip for the euphoric experience, but also use it as a protection against mosquitoes. The same chemical compounds found in catnip and silver vine, known as iridoids, protect the plants against sap-sucking insects. These iridoid compounds were found to be the key to the feline's euphoric state and protection against mosquito bites. What I think it's really important to note is this puzzling aspect of self-medication in nature. The adaptive intelligence of a species to recognize not only the visual signals, but also the chemical signals of a plant's chemical compounds through the olfactory sense, smell. But more intriguingly to me, how did the species come to know the function of said chemicals produced by the plants, as is the case with the iridoid chemical compounds in catnip and silver vine? How did the feline species recognize the relation between the iridoids and their repelling effects on sap-sucking insects? This is a mystery. Across the natural world, animals and insects self-medicate in two ways. One is for preventive purposes, to maintain general health, and the other is for therapeutic purposes, to heal from an existing ailment. And here are some other examples of self-medication in nature that I came across during my research. This article was published in 2014 by the National Academy of Science. Bears, deer, elk, various carnivores, and great apes are known to consume medicinal plants for cell medication. Baboons and other primates eat spiny leaves of plants to combat flatworms and other parasites in their intestinal tracts. Some lizards eat roots to counter venom after being bitten by a venomous snake. Fruit flies, butterflies, and other flying insects lay eggs in plants containing high ethanol levels when parasitoid wasps are detected. This way they protect their offspring. Some birds, such as the macaws and other animals, eat clay to kill bacteria and aid in digestion. Female spider monkeys add certain plants to their diet to increase or decrease their fertility as desired. Pregnant lemurs nibble on tamarind, fig leaves, and bark to aid in milk production, to kill parasites, and to increase the chances of a successful birth. And for their part, pregnant elephants eat the leaves of some trees to induce delivery. I find these examples astonishing, and it is worth recognizing also that our human species, as part of nature, has been practicing pharmacognosy throughout its existence, and that our modern pharmaceutical science has relied and continues to rely on nature for drug discovery. In a 2011 literature review article published in the Harvard University Journal of Science, Dr. Jessica Wu notes that historically medicines were administered in the form of herbal concoctions, and many traditional medicines continue to be taken this way. As she states, but as science advanced, chemists were able to extract and isolate the active ingredients from natural sources to make more potent medicines. For example, aspirin, acetylsalicylic acid, was discovered from the willow tree, the bark of which was used in traditional herbal remedies. And when a natural source is not readily available, chemistry often steps in to provide practical alternatives. Dr. Wu gives the example of the blockbuster anti-cancer drug paclitaxel, made from the Pacific yew tree, which in the 1960s saw its populations decline because the harvesting process stripped the bark and killed the trees. But by isolating plant cells from twigs and needles and growing the cells in a process called plant cell fermentation, the process became more sustainable because it spared the trees from stripping their barks, and it reduced chemical waste as well. However, there are challenges going forward. Dr. Wu states that unfortunately the rate at which new diseases are emerging appears to be outrunning the pharmaceutical industry's ability to find remedies. Adding further to this challenge, drugs can become ineffective through the evolution of resistance in certain disease-causing bacteria, viruses, parasites, and cancers. So, keeping in mind how recent our pharmaceutical science is, perhaps these challenges raise the question of how our ancestors dealt with pathogens for thousands of years. We are not talking about old wives' tales medicine, quote-unquote, a type of remark which diminishes the value and legitimacy of ancient natural treatments. It has been known that humans have been treating ailments with chemical compounds found in nature since our species arose in the world. As part of nature, we have followed the same healing practices as all other species. Coincidentally, just a couple days ago, I was visiting close friends of mine. I found out that the husband had been sick for a few days, and his wife, who was a doctor in Eastern Europe and now a registered nurse here in the Bay Area, was treating his ailment primarily with natural remedies, such as broths from chicken soup, made with the freshest free-range chicken she bought at the market, plus vegetables and herbs from her own garden. She said in her homeland, the chicken soup broth is referred to as Jewish penicillin. As she recounted her story, I was instantly brought back to my memories of growing up and how my mother always made chicken soups when anyone in our family was sick. I also remembered how my grandmother made teas from medicinal herbs and roots found in her own garden to help us heal from common ailments. But home remedies are not the full extent to which our ancestors developed health treatments. Indeed, complex healing systems have been developed and are practiced even today in various societies in the world. Since the 3rd century BCE, Chinese medicine has been practiced as a medical system, and much of it is based on herbal remedies. And for more than 5,000 years, the medical system known as Ayurvedic medicine has been practiced in India, using natural remedies including herbal treatments, animal byproducts such as clarified butter, and special dietary regimens. Now, it's important for us to recognize that health and well-being encompasses much more than just natural medicines or pharmaceutical products. Although these are essential therapeutic treatments, a healthy and joyful lifestyle is in fact our principal method of preventive medicine. To highlight case in point, in a landmark 4-year longevity research study by Dr. Christina Crisohu and team, evaluated longevity characteristics of the population of the Greek island of Ikaria, a population with one of the highest life expectancies in the world. Her team concluded that, quote, as supported by evidence, despite the prevalence of multimorbidity, Ikarians have a satisfactory healthy aging level. Finally, gender and level of adherence to the Mediterranean diet were found to be potential mediators between healthy aging and multimorbidity. Healthy aging is a lifelong process that can lead to limited comorbidities across the lifespan. Unquote. If you would like to learn more about this study and about the Ikarian lifestyle, search on YouTube for Island Where People Live Longer Than Anyone on Earth, a TV show segment by 60 Minutes Australia. The video highlights the countless benefits of and secrets to living a joyful and meaningful life. So with that in mind, it is important to point out that although modern science and pharmacology have been instrumental in the treatment of our ever-increasing list of disease symptoms, they have not focused on or succeeded in treating the root cause of said symptoms. Our modern metropolitan, mostly sedentary, hyperactive, high-stress lifestyle, along with our conventional, highly processed food production and distribution systems, are negatively affecting our health and well-being. And we must pay heed to the ancient knowledge of our ancestors if we are to succeed in healing the root cause of our ailments. But don't take it from me. In a peer-reviewed article in the European Journal of Pharmacology, Dr. Ranger Whitcamp and research team concluded that, quote, nutrition has been a central element in many traditional forms of medicine, until its role in curative medicine started to decline during the last century. We are now facing a renaissance of nutrition, or lifestyle in general, for disease management as well. Ironically, pharmacological research and development have enormously benefited from the high incidence of lifestyle-associated chronic diseases. However, it is clear that most, if not all of these compounds, only modulate relatively late-stage complications, which generally indicate already longer existing homeostatic imbalance. Unquote. And in closing, I'd like to leave you with this thought. Let thy food be thy medicine, and thy medicine be thy food, advises the ancient adage often attributed to the Greek philosopher Hippocrates. This ancient adage reminds us that we are what we eat. There is a huge difference between freshly harvested foods, known as farm to table, and highly processed packaged foods, no matter how much nutritional value its product packaging advertises. Just as any natural ecology, our human physiology requires certain stability in the presence of compounds entering the system. Just as we can't expect to exploit or pollute a natural ecosystem endlessly without harming it, we can't expect our physiology to remain healthy and in a state of homeostasis when we are not mindful of our nutritional intake, general stress level, and work-rest ratio. So it is worth considering the great health and life benefits to be gained from cooking at home and spending quality time with family and friends in cheerful food and drink gatherings. With that in mind, cheers to you, my friend. May you live a long, healthy, and joyful life. And as long as we are still alive on this magnificent galactic island called Earth, I invite you to keep on cracking the Nature Code.